There's something profoundly strange about life. The more we chase, the more it runs. The tighter we grip, the more things slip through our fingers. And yet, when we finally let go, when we stop forcing, stop resisting, stop trying so hard, something unexpected happens. Life begins to respond, not with chaos, but with clarity, not with absence, but with alignment. This episode is about that mystery. It's about the quiet power of surrender, the kind that doesn't mean giving up, but giving in. Giving in to the rhythm of things, to the intelligence that guides the world, even when we don't understand it. Today, I want to explore what happens when we stop trying to control everything. What unfolds when we trust the process, when we loosen our grip and allow life to unfold on its own terms. Because maybe, just maybe, everything we've been trying so hard to achieve is already trying to reach us, if only we'd get out of the way. There's a moment in life we all encounter, sometimes in our work, other times in our relationships or deepest dreams, when no matter how hard we try, nothing moves. We push, we plan, we hustle, and still the doors remain shut. And so we try harder. We tighten our grip, telling ourselves that more control equals more results. But what if the very effort we believe is helping us is actually holding us back? What if chasing too much is the very thing pushing everything away? It's a strange truth. The more force we apply, the more life seems to resist us. And the more we resist that reality, the more frustrated we become. But then something curious happens. Maybe when we're tired, when we've run out of options, when we finally surrender, not because we want to, but because we have to. We let go. And in that space, without pressure, without demand, things begin to move. You might think of surrender as weakness, as giving up. But real surrender isn't passive. It's active openness. It's not abandoning your dreams. It's releasing your attachment to how and when they must happen. There's a kind of wisdom in that, a trust in the intelligence of life itself. Like a river finding its way to the sea, not by force, but by following the natural curves of the earth. Imagine a clenched fist. It's strong, right? But it can't hold much. It can't receive. It's too busy gripping. Now picture that same hand, open, relaxed, ready to hold whatever comes. That image captures the essence of surrender. It's not that you don't care. It's that you've stopped micromanaging the universe. You've stopped thinking you have to make everything happen by sheer will. Think of Sarah, an artist who spent years trying to make it. She did everything right. Promotions, networking, constant productivity. But her art felt forced, and her life felt heavy. Eventually, she reached a point of burnout. She stopped trying to be successful and returned to creating for the joy of it. No agenda, no strategy, just expression. That's when everything changed. A gallery owner stumbled upon her work, felt its honesty, and offered her a solo show. That one moment opened doors she'd been pushing against for years. But the shift didn't come from more effort. It came from less resistance. And maybe that's the lesson. Our desire is not the problem. Wanting is human. But when desire turns into control, when we start measuring our worth by how fast things happen or how closely reality matches our plan, we lose touch with flow. Surrender is the quiet practice of stepping back and trusting that what's meant for us will find its way. Not because we chase it harder, but because we align with it. That doesn't mean we stop taking action. It means our actions come from a place of clarity, not desperation. It means we move forward, not because we're afraid of falling behind, but because we're inspired. The difference is subtle, but it changes everything. Surrender doesn't mean inactivity. It means intelligent participation. We plant the seed, we water it, we give it sunlight, but we don't keep digging it up to see if it's growing. So ask yourself, where in your life are you holding too tightly? What dream are you gripping so hard it can't breathe? What part of your path are you forcing instead of flowing? Maybe it's time to ease your grip. Maybe it's time to release the need to know exactly how it will unfold. Because the truth is, we don't always need to know. We just need to listen, to act from alignment, to trust that letting go doesn't take us off the path. It places us directly in it. And if there's one shift you could make today, let it be this. Move from pressure to presence. Let go, not of the dream, but of the timeline, the formula, the control. And watch what begins to move in your life when you do. Sometimes the thing that's stopping us isn't the world around us. It's something quieter, something more personal. It's not the lack of time or resources or even opportunity. It's resistance. That invisible force that shows up right when we're about to do something meaningful. It whispers doubts. It feeds fears. It convinces us that staying safe is better than moving forward. And most of the time we don't even notice it. We just feel stuck, unmotivated. Or worse, we sabotage ourselves and call it logic. Resistance takes many shapes. It can look like procrastination. It can sound like that inner critic telling you your dream is unrealistic. It can feel like exhaustion when you sit down to work on something that matters to you. It might even masquerade as productivity, cleaning the kitchen, checking emails, doing everything but the one thing that truly calls to your heart. That's the trick of resistance. It hides in plain sight, pretending to protect us, when really it's keeping us small. But here's the thing. Resistance only shows up where something meaningful is trying to emerge. It's a signal, not of failure, but of potential. Like a wall you bump into when you're walking in the dark, it tells you you're at the edge of something real. And instead of backing away, maybe what we need to do is pause and ask, what am I really afraid of? Because resistance is almost always rooted in fear. Fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear of not being enough. It's the part of you that wants to grow, colliding with the part of you that wants to stay safe. That inner friction is natural. It means you're alive. It means something important is happening. Think of Adam, a writer who dreamed of publishing a novel. He had talent, vision, even time. But every time he sat down to write, anxiety took over. His mind filled with what-ifs. What if it's bad? What if no one reads it? What if I fail? So instead of writing, he reorganized his bookshelves or reread old drafts. Resistance kept him busy, but far from the page. And yet, when he finally acknowledged that fear, not as weakness, but as part of the process, everything changed. He didn't get rid of resistance. He learned to move with it. That's what surrender looks like in the face of resistance. It's not about overpowering it. It's about recognizing it and choosing to move anyway. Kindness helps. So does curiosity. Instead of criticizing yourself for being lazy or undisciplined, try asking, what is this resistance trying to protect me from? What belief is hiding underneath this fear? Maybe you believe success will cost you your relationships, or that failure will prove you're not good enough, or that trying your best and still falling short would hurt more than not trying at all. These beliefs are heavy, but they're not permanent. When we shine a light on them, we begin to dissolve them. You can even talk to your resistance, literally. Write a letter from that voice inside you that says, "Don't do it." Let it speak, then write back. Not to argue, but to reassure, to say, "I hear you, but I'm not here to stay stuck." Because staying stuck is safe, yes, but it's also suffocating. And deep down, you know you weren't born for safety. You were born to express, to create, to grow. That means dancing with resistance, not letting it run the show. One powerful way to soften resistance is to break things down. Big dreams are intimidating, so shrink the scale. Don't write a book, just write one paragraph. Don't launch a business, just sketch an idea. Don't change your life overnight, just take one honest step. Resistance feeds on overwhelm, but presence dissolves it. And remember, you're not broken because you feel resistance. You're human. Every person who has done something meaningful has met this invisible weight. The difference is, they didn't wait for it to disappear. They moved through it. They breathed with it. They trusted that on the other side of fear, there's freedom. So today, instead of asking how to get rid of your resistance, ask how to understand it. Ask what truth is trying to surface underneath it. And then, with compassion, take one step anyway. Because the moment you do, you reclaim your power. Not through force, but through surrender. Through the quiet, courageous act of moving forward, even when your fear begs you not to. There's a kind of silence that follows resistance, not the peaceful kind, but the heavy kind. The kind where we start to question everything. Is this worth it? Am I doing something wrong? Should I keep going? Or is this a sign I should stop? And in that uncertainty, we often reach for control. We try to map out every outcome, secure every answer, and force life to give us guarantees. But life doesn't work like that. It never has. And maybe it's not supposed to. The truth is, there's a much bigger rhythm at play than what we can see. Plans are useful, effort is important, but they're not everything. There's a larger intelligence guiding the unfolding of events. Some call it the universe, others call it divine timing. But whatever name you give it, the essence is the same. There is a force moving through your life that knows more than you do. And when you trust it, things start falling into place in ways you couldn't have predicted. Trust is difficult because it asks us to surrender control, not just intellectually, but emotionally. It means being okay with not knowing how things will turn out. It means taking steps when the path isn't fully visible. That's not easy for the mind, which craves certainty. But maybe the heart doesn't need certainty. Maybe it just needs connection. Think of Maya, someone who'd spent years trying to find her purpose. She read all the books, tried different jobs, made detailed 5-year plans, but nothing felt quite right. Until one day, she stopped searching and started listening, not to experts or trends, but to herself. She began noticing what moved her, what lit her up. It wasn't loud, it wasn't dramatic, but it was real. One small decision at a time, she followed that quiet voice. A year later, she found herself doing work she never expected, work that felt meaningful, alive, aligned. Not because she forced her way into it, but because she trusted the unfolding. That's what trusting the universe looks like. It's not waiting around for signs. It's being open to the unexpected, alert to the subtle nudges, and willing to act even when the outcome isn't guaranteed. It's understanding that just because things aren't going according to your plan doesn't mean they're going wrong. Sometimes, not getting what you want is what clears the path for what you need. But to trust that, you have to let go of your obsession with timing. You have to stop measuring your progress by someone else's clock. The universe doesn't run on deadlines. It runs on alignment. And when the time is right, when you're ready on a level you may not even see, things move fast. Not because you chase them harder, but because you became who you needed to be for them to arrive. Of course, this isn't about passivity. Trust is not a reason to sit back and hope. It's a reason to stay present, to keep showing up with an open heart. You still take action. You still do your part. But you do it from a place of partnership, not pressure. You act like a dancer who's in sync with the rhythm, not someone dragging the music along. There's freedom in that. There's peace in realizing that life is not against you. It's not trying to test you or punish you. It's trying to shape you. And the things that don't work out, they're often redirections, not rejections. Closed doors that lead you somewhere better. Delays that prepare you for something greater. But you only see that when you stop forcing the narrative and start listening to the deeper story. So ask yourself, where have you been trying to force outcomes in your life? Where have you mistaken struggle for progress? Can you begin to trust, not blindly, but consciously, that what's meant for you is already making its way to you? Because when you do, when you release your grip on the timeline and allow yourself to move in rhythm with something larger, you'll start to notice a shift, not just in what you attract, but in how you feel, more grounded, more open, more at peace. That's the quiet magic of trust. It doesn't make life perfect, it just makes it real. And in a world full of noise and pressure, that's more than enough. We often think that effort alone is the answer, that if we just try harder, do more, push through, eventually life will give in. But what if the real key isn't more force, but more space? What if what we need isn't more striving, but more allowing? There's a subtle but powerful difference between action driven by fear and action born from alignment. When we act from fear, we rush, we control, we demand results. We're constantly measuring our worth by outcomes, always looking to the future to validate the present. But when we act from alignment, there's a calm to it, a clarity. We're not chasing something outside ourselves. We're responding to something real within us. Allowing means dropping the need to force things into place. It means recognizing that not everything requires immediate intervention. Some situations need time to unfold. Some problems don't need to be fixed right now. Some answers arrive only when the noise quiets down enough to hear them. But this isn't easy. Most of us have been conditioned to believe that control equals success. We've been praised for taking charge, for pushing through, for making things happen. So the idea of stepping back can feel like laziness or irresponsibility. Yet there is a discipline in allowing. It takes strength to hold space. It takes wisdom to know when to step in and when to step aside. To allow is to trust in timing, but also in yourself. It's not a passive waiting. It's a mindful presence. You're alert, awake, connected. You're not ignoring what's happening. You're simply choosing not to react from panic or pressure. You're choosing to respond from presence. There's a kind of power in that. The kind that doesn't demand attention, but commands respect. The kind that doesn't seek validation, but radiates quiet confidence. And more often than not, the solutions we're so desperate to find come more easily when we stop chasing and start listening. Think about how nature works. A seed doesn't become a tree overnight. It needs space, soil, time, sunlight, stillness. If we try to rush the process, we harm it. But when we allow the conditions to support its growth, it flourishes. The same applies to our goals, our relationships, our inner healing. They don't need more pressure. They need the right space to grow. So maybe the question isn't, what more can I do? Maybe it's, what can I let go of? Can you let go of the need to have all the answers right now? Can you stop trying to force solutions and allow things to unfold at their own pace? Can you trust that your energy is better spent cultivating clarity than controlling outcomes? Because in that space of allowing, something beautiful happens. You begin to move with life, not against it. You begin to listen to your own rhythm, not just the noise around you. And from that place, things start to align in ways you didn't expect. Not because you pushed harder, but because you got out of your own way. So take a breath, soften the urgency. Let yourself be here, fully. You don't need to force what's meant to flow. You don't need to chase what's already making its way to you. Allow it, trust it, respond with presence, not panic. And you'll find what's truly meant for you doesn't need to be forced. It just needs room to arrive. Expectations can be silent burdens. We carry them everywhere, about who we should be, how fast we should progress, what success should look like. They shape our thinking, distort our perceptions, and often leave us feeling disappointed, not because life has failed us, but because it didn't match the script we wrote in our heads. And that script, those expectations, are rarely rooted in reality. They're rooted in fear, in comparison, in control. We don't just want things to happen. We want them to happen our way, on our schedule, with our conditions. And when they don't, we feel betrayed. But here's the truth we often overlook. Expectations create tension, and tension blocks flow. It's not that wanting things is the problem. Desire is natural. Vision is powerful. But the moment our desires harden into rigid expectations, we begin to suffer. We narrow our focus so tightly that we miss everything life is trying to give us outside that narrow frame. We stop being open to surprise, to mystery, to the beauty of not knowing. There's a quiet freedom in letting go of expectations, not because you don't care, but because you care enough to let things unfold in their own form. You learn to show up fully, give your best, and release the need for a specific outcome. That's not giving up, it's growing up. Think about how often expectations fuel unnecessary pain. You expected someone to react a certain way, and they didn't. You expected a goal to be reached by a certain time, and it wasn't. You expected to feel different after reaching a milestone, but the feeling never came. In all of these moments, the pain didn't come from what happened. It came from what you expected to happen. And that's the hidden cost. Expectations tie your peace to things you don't control. They make your joy conditional. And when life inevitably takes a different path, you're left feeling broken. Not because you are, but because you built your inner world around a timeline or outcome that never truly belonged to you. So what's the alternative? It's not indifference. It's presence. It's devotion to the process rather than obsession with the prize. It's the choice to show up every day, to care deeply, to dream boldly, but without the weight of expectation dictating your worth or your happiness. You can still plan. You can still work hard. You can still hold a vision for your life. But hold it lightly. Let it breathe. Leave room for life to surprise you. Because often, the best things that happen to us are the ones we never saw coming. And we only recognize them when we're not blinded by what we thought was supposed to happen. So pause and ask yourself, what expectations are you holding that no longer serve you? What stories have you written about how your life should look by now? And what would happen if you released those stories? Not to fall behind, but to come back to what's real. Because when you do, you'll feel it. A lightness, a space, a sense of calm in the uncertainty. And in that space, something powerful begins to move. Not outside of you, but within you. A freedom, a clarity, a quiet confidence that no matter what happens, you'll meet it with presence. Not pressure, not panic, but with open hands and an open heart. And that, more than any fixed outcome, is where peace lives. Silence isn't empty. Stillness isn't passive. In fact, it's often in those quiet moments, when we stop doing, stop chasing, stop controlling, that the most powerful shifts happen, but we rarely make space for stillness. We think it's unproductive. We treat it like a pause between the real parts of life. Yet in truth, stillness is where we reconnect with ourselves, with clarity, with something deeper than thought. Meditation, in its purest form, isn't about escaping life. It's about meeting it fully. It's a space where we practice surrender, not as a dramatic gesture, but as a quiet return to presence, a return to the breath, a return to what's happening right now, without judgment, without resistance. We often carry tension without realizing it, in our thoughts, in our bodies, in the way we approach each moment with subtle urgency. Meditation helps us see that. It slows us down enough to notice the noise we've gotten used to living in. And by noticing it, we begin to loosen its grip. You don't have to be a monk to benefit from this. You don't need hours of silence or a perfect environment. Just a few minutes of intentional awareness can shift your entire day. Sit quietly. Close your eyes. Feel your breath move in and out of your body. Don't try to change it. Just observe. When thoughts come, and they will, notice them without following. Let them pass like clouds in the sky. This isn't about stopping your thoughts. It's about no longer being pulled around by them. What you'll find over time is that there's a deeper stillness beneath the noise, a kind of quiet that isn't empty, but full, full of awareness, full of life. And in that awareness, surrender becomes natural, because you're no longer lost in what should be. You're present with what is. Meditation isn't the only way to experience this, but it's one of the most direct. It trains the mind to release control. It teaches the nervous system to soften. It gives the heart room to feel again, without judgment. And from that space, new insights arise, not from force, but from stillness, not from struggle, but from connection. The world is loud, our minds are louder, but within you, always, there's a quiet space that's untouched by all of it, a space of peace, of knowing, of gentle presence. And when you touch that space regularly, even for a few moments, your whole relationship to life changes. You stop reacting, you start responding, you stop needing to fix everything, you start trusting that some things simply are. This is the true foundation of surrender, not a mindset, but a practice, a daily grounded return to self, not the self full of expectations and demands, but the self that simply is, the self that watches, breathes, allows. So ask yourself, can you give yourself 5 minutes today, just 5, to be still, not to achieve anything, not to figure anything out, but simply to be with what's here? Because the more often you return to that space, the more natural surrender becomes, not as an idea, but as a way of living. And when surrender becomes a habit, life no longer feels like something you have to manage. It becomes something you're in conversation with, something you trust, something you flow with, one breath at a time. We tend to associate control with strength. The more in control we are, the more powerful we feel. We micromanage our schedules, obsess over outcomes, and cling to routines as if they're lifelines. But the truth is, most of our desire for control doesn't come from power. It comes from fear. Fear of uncertainty. Fear of loss. Fear of the unknown. And the more we try to dominate life, the more we disconnect from its natural rhythm. The irony is that the tighter we hold on, the more things seem to slip away. Control creates the illusion of safety, but it rarely gives us peace. It gives us tension, anxiety, and the constant burden of needing everything to go according to plan. And when it doesn't, we collapse. We doubt ourselves. We feel like we've failed. But have we really failed, or did we just believe that we were ever in control to begin with? Surrender challenges this belief. It invites us to reconsider what real power looks like. Not the kind that forces, but the kind that flows. Not the kind that dominates, but the kind that adapts. True power isn't loud. It's rooted. It doesn't need to prove itself. It trusts in its ability to respond rather than react. This shift is radical. It requires unlearning. Because most of us were taught that control is necessary for survival, that if we don't plan, prepare, and predict, everything will fall apart. But life isn't a machine. It's a living process, and processes don't respond well to force. They respond to presence, to awareness, to alignment. To surrender the need for control is not to give up responsibility. It's to shift from trying to force outcomes to choosing how we respond to them. It's moving from the mindset of, I must make this happen, to, I will meet whatever happens with clarity and intention. This change alters everything. Your stress levels, your sense of self-worth, your ability to handle setbacks. You stop internalizing every challenge as a reflection of your failure. You start seeing each moment as a chance to listen, to adjust, to grow. Control is rigid, surrender is responsive, and responsiveness is what life asks of us. That doesn't mean you stop making plans or setting goals, but it does mean you stop attaching your identity to them. You recognize that you are not your results, you are not your productivity, you are not your ability to control every detail. You are the awareness behind it all, the one who can choose again, adjust, and keep going without the weight of perfectionism. So take a moment to notice where control is ruling your life. Where are you gripping so tightly that you've lost your sense of ease? Where have your routines become cages rather than containers? Can you soften just a little? Can you trust that not everything needs to be managed down to the last detail? Because in that softening, you don't lose power. You gain freedom. You gain the ability to adapt, to pivot, to move with life, rather than constantly fighting against it. You become more resilient, not because you control everything, but because you don't have to. That's real strength. The kind that bends without breaking, the kind that listens before it speaks, the kind that knows, I am not here to conquer life, I am here to collaborate with it, and in that collaboration, control fades. But something deeper takes its place, wisdom, trust, and the quiet confidence that you can meet whatever comes. There's a paradox we don't often talk about. The moment you stop needing something is often the moment it begins to show up. Not because life is playing games with you, but because letting go changes your energy. It shifts your focus from lack to presence, from grasping to receiving. And in that shift, you create the space for life to respond. It's strange how it works. You try, you push, you chase, and nothing moves. Then, in a moment of quiet surrender, you release your attachment to the outcome, and suddenly things begin to unfold. Opportunities arrive, clarity comes, people show up. It doesn't always happen instantly, but the pattern is real. Surrender invites alignment, not because you gave up, but because you gave in to flow, to timing, to trust. But to really understand this, we have to question something deeper. Why do we want what we want so badly? Is it because we believe it will make us whole, or safe, or finally enough? So much of our striving comes not from inspiration, but from the belief that we are incomplete without the thing we're chasing. And that belief creates pressure. It says, "Until this happens, I cannot be at peace." Surrender breaks that cycle. It says, I can want something and still be whole. I can pursue something and still be at peace. It separates desire from desperation, and that separation is where true freedom begins. This doesn't mean we abandon our goals. It means we stop letting them own us. We show up fully, do the work, take the steps, but without gripping the outcome. We stop measuring our self-worth by whether or not things go our way. We begin to realize that how we live matters more than what we achieve. This paradox that letting go brings more is not a trick. It's a principle rooted in how life moves. Force creates resistance. Openness creates flow. When you loosen your grip, you return to the present moment. And from that place, you make better decisions. You see more clearly. You act with more precision and less noise. Think about how differently you show up when you're calm, centered, not needing something to happen in order to feel okay. Your energy is different. Your presence is magnetic. You're not pushing people or possibilities away with tension. You're inviting them with authenticity. And even when things don't go the way you hoped, you don't collapse. You don't spiral. Because you're no longer attached to a specific outcome, you're committed to truth, to growth, to showing up with integrity, regardless of how the external world responds. This is the power of surrender. It gives you your life back, not as a reward for letting go, but as a natural result of being fully here, of no longer postponing peace until conditions are perfect. So ask yourself, what are you gripping that's causing more tension than movement? What are you afraid will slip away if you stop chasing it so hard? And what would it feel like to want something deeply, without needing it to define you? That shift is everything. It doesn't take away your passion. It doesn't dull your ambition. It simply grounds it. It reminds you that you're already enough, that life is not something to conquer, but to align with. And when you live from that space, free, focused, present, what you truly need often finds its way to you. Not because you demanded it, but because you were finally ready to receive it. Relationships can be one of the most powerful mirrors for our desire to control. In our closest connections, we often try, consciously or not, to shape others into what we need them to be. We expect them to respond the way we would, to love us how we define love, to meet our needs without having to ask. And when they don't, frustration arises. We start managing, correcting, sometimes even manipulating, not always with ill intent, but with fear at the core. Fear of rejection, fear of being misunderstood, fear of losing connection. But here's what surrender teaches us. Love is not control. It's not shaping someone else to fit your comfort zone. It's allowing them to be fully themselves, even when that challenges you, even when it confronts your own insecurities. Surrender in relationships doesn't mean silence or avoidance. It means releasing the illusion that closeness requires control. True connection thrives on freedom, not pressure. The more you try to control how someone shows up, the more tension you create. The more you try to force emotional safety through control, the more unsafe the relationship actually becomes. People need space to be real, to change, to grow. And that space can only exist when we're willing to surrender our assumptions about who they should be. Surrendering in relationships doesn't mean allowing dysfunction. It doesn't mean tolerating harm or settling for less than what's healthy. It means knowing the difference between expressing your needs and trying to control the outcome, between holding someone accountable and trying to rewrite their personality, between loving someone for who they are and resenting them for not becoming who you wanted them to be. There's a strange beauty in letting go of the script we've written for others. in choosing to meet people as they are today, not who we wish they'd become tomorrow. That doesn't mean we stop caring. It means we start listening more. We soften. We become less reactive. And in that softening, deeper understanding emerges. Communication becomes easier. Conflicts become less about blame and more about clarity. We stop trying to win and we start trying to connect. And that connection, born of surrender, often becomes more fulfilling than anything we could have forced. Because now it's real, not based on conditions or performance, but rooted in presence. You show up. They show up. Not perfectly, but honestly. So pause for a moment and reflect. Where in your relationships are you holding too tightly? Where are you trying to control the narrative out of fear? And what might shift if you let go, not of the person, but of the pressure? The answer might be uncomfortable at first, but with discomfort comes freedom. The freedom to feel what's true. The freedom to relate without armor. The freedom to love without clinging. And when two people meet from that space, something sacred happens. Not because they control each other, but because they choose to honor each other as they are, moment by moment. That's the quiet strength of surrendered love. It doesn't seek to possess. It seeks to understand. And in that understanding, it finds a deeper kind of connection, one built not on power, but on presence. The present moment is often overlooked. We're so busy reaching for what's next, regretting what's past, managing what could go wrong, that we forget where life is actually happening, here, now. And yet, this is the only space where anything real can be experienced. The only place where joy, clarity, love, and transformation are possible. But to live in the present requires something many of us resist, surrendering the need to mentally escape it. We escape in subtle ways, constant planning, endless distractions, replaying conversations, anticipating outcomes. Our minds rush ahead, convinced that the next moment holds more value than this one. But the next moment is just another now. And if we don't know how to be present in this one, we'll miss all the others too. Surrendering to the now doesn't mean we stop dreaming or preparing. It means we stop resisting what is. It means we meet life as it unfolds, instead of fighting it with expectations and judgment. It means we allow the moment to be enough, not perfect, not easy, but enough. There's a quiet power in that shift. When we drop into the present, something inside us softens, the noise lessens. We breathe more fully, we feel more clearly. We realize that most of our suffering wasn't caused by the moment itself, but by our refusal to fully enter it. The now is where your strength is. It's where your clarity lives. When you're fully here, you respond more wisely. You connect more honestly. You create more authentically. You're not being pulled in 100 directions by what-ifs and should-haves. You're grounded. And in that groundedness, life begins to feel less chaotic because you're no longer scattered across imaginary timelines. You've returned to your center. This doesn't mean the present moment is always peaceful. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's uncertain. But even then, there's something steady beneath it. A stillness, a presence. And the more you learn to return to that space, no matter what's happening, the more resilient you become. We often wait for external things to change so we can feel peace. But peace doesn't come from having the perfect life. It comes from being fully alive in the one you have. And that starts by surrendering the mental habit of postponing presence, by no longer saying, "I'll feel okay when," and instead saying, "I choose to show up now." Because now is where everything happens. Every insight, every shift, Every moment of connection or courage or creativity, it all begins in the now. And when you surrender to it, not because it's perfect, but because it's real, you begin to move through life with more grace, more clarity, and more power than you ever thought possible. So ask yourself, gently, where are you? Not physically, but mentally, emotionally, energetically. Are you here, or are you lost in a future you can't control, or a past you can't change? If you're not here, come back. Come back to the breath, to the feeling in your chest, to the ground beneath your feet. Come back to what's real. Because this moment, just as it is not something to rush through. It's something to live. And when you live it fully, you discover that surrender isn't just about letting go of control. It's about coming home, to yourself, to this breath, to now. So much of what we're chasing is already within reach. Peace, clarity, connection, purpose. But we often miss it, not because it's hidden, but because we're moving too fast, gripping too tightly, trying too hard to force life into a shape it was never meant to take. And somewhere in all that effort, we forget that surrender isn't about giving up. It's about tuning in. It's about choosing to meet life where it is, not where we wish it was. It's about trusting that we don't have to carry everything alone. That control is not the key to freedom. Presence is. That forcing outcomes may bring temporary results, but only surrender brings lasting alignment. The kind of alignment that doesn't just change what we experience, it changes who we are while experiencing it. Maybe the real question isn't, what do I need to make happen, but what am I being asked to let go of? What beliefs no longer serve you? What expectations are stealing your peace? What control are you holding on to so tightly that it's keeping joy at a distance? And what would happen if, for once, you softened your grip, slowed your pace, and simply allowed life to meet you where you are? This isn't a philosophy to admire from a distance. It's a practice, a path, a way of showing up in the world that's honest, grounded, and deeply courageous. Because it takes courage to stop pushing, it takes strength to be still, and it takes trust to believe that what's meant for you will never need to be forced. So as you step back into your day, carry this truth with you. Surrender is not the end of effort. It's the beginning of true power. A power that moves with life, not against it. A power that doesn't demand, but invites. Doesn't control, but collaborates. Doesn't panic, but trusts. Start there. Start now. One breath at a time. One moment at a time. Surrender. Not because you're weak, but because you're finally ready to live from your deepest strength. And if this journey spoke to something in you, share it. Reflect on it. Revisit it when you forget. Because surrender isn't something we master once. It's something we remember again and again. Every time life whispers, let go.